Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Let's welcome Christine Sun, the Senior Vice President of Research and Analytics at Orange Tea and Tie. Christine, good morning. Welcome to Money FM's Weekend Mornings.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. Christine.
Great to have you on with us. So much is happening, and we're seeing some buoyancy and some upward movement in our residential property mix right now. Give us an overview, will you, for those who haven't followed it in the last couple of weeks. What's going on right now in residential property in Singapore?
I think that right now, the Singapore's property market has really done very well, especially given the pandemic and economic slowdown. So it has caught the eye of many people, you know, Singaporeans, even overseas buyers, and even the authorities. You know, so this is something that is quite interesting because people have expected perhaps the property market to slow down last year. But if you look at the data that was released just last Friday, you can see that both the HDB and private residential markets have done really well in terms of both prices and as well as sales volume. So if you look at the data, private home price actually rose 2.2% last year, and HDB resale price actually increased 5%.
Wow.
And both sales volume have also exceeded what we saw in 2019. So this is something that is quite unexpected.
So, you know, many people were saying that, as you mentioned, it's unexpected, but perhaps these upticks were coming because more people were spending time at home. They had to develop home offices, perhaps, or work from home scenarios. What do you see as the why this has happened? Because it does go against what we would have thought logic would tell us, right?
Yes, I think one of the key difference is that this time round, if you compare with past crisis, there is a lot of massive stimulus that's been released around the world, and that includes Singapore. So because of that, there's a lot of liquidity circulating the market, and many investors are shifting their money from more risky assets or equities to real estate properties. So in a way, I mean, some people are very surprised that, you know, why is Singapore's property market doing so well? But it's also not really a big surprise because Singapore's properties have always been well regarded as safe haven assets. So because of the growing uncertainties that's happening around the world, we do see many people coming into Singapore, parking their money here because our properties have shown to provide stable returns in times of uncertainty as well as in terms of a boom time. So in that sense, that could explain why property buying is so strong. And of course, with a low interest rate, that is also one of the key drivers.
Yeah, but the cooling off measures, you know, have been in place now for at least a few years. And there were hopes that at one point before COVID hit that they would be lifted. Does this buoyancy now mean that, you know, these cooling measures are going to be here to stay longer?
I think that the authorities, I think that there's quite a bit of talk right now that whether do you think that there'll be more cooling measures because of what has happening in the market. But I think that there are certain key considerations to take, you know, because we are really not in the position to say whether it's going to happen now or not. But I think there are some things to consider, for instance, like what's going to happen to other property related businesses, because you have to know that when cooling measures are being implemented, it's not just the property sector that will be affected. There'll be other businesses, for instance, like banking, construction, maybe even media, these maybe legal services, advertising, that will all be affected as well. And many of these businesses have just started to pick up, you know, after the pandemic, or we are still in the midst of pandemic. So I think it's a bit too early, you know, if let's say another slew of property measures are going to be implemented, because then it may even affect the overall market recovery or economic recovery for Singapore. Then, of course, you know, there are other levers to consider. For instance, like, you know, for prices, not only you can use some of these cooling measures, you can also consider increasing supply. So that's when, you know, if the government were to release more government land sales, that would be also one way to control prices as well.
Yeah, I've seen some estimates, and we're talking at the moment to Christine Sun, the Senior Vice President of Research and Analytics at Orange Tea and Tie, about the residential market here in Singapore. And Christine, I've seen some estimates that we could see perhaps up to 9,000 new private homes being sold in 2021. That would be a slightly lower than the 9,700 or so, 9,800 homes sold in 2020. What are you projecting from where you sit?
Okay, I think that we are expecting a less number of private homes to be launched this year, mainly because we are going to see fewer supply that is going to be happening in the market right now. In fact, this year, we may even see the market swinging back in favor of sellers because the private housing stock is actually depleting. For many years, we've been talking about like oversupply risks and so on. But what is going to happen this year is that we are going to see the stock in the market to start depleting because land sales have actually declined quite drastically over the past few years because, you know, we know that collective sales activities have almost come to a complete halt since 2018. And government land sales have also been quite conservative. So because of that, we may expect a lower supply of homes, you know, that will happen this year.
Which will keep prices up then. Before COVID, did we, and because of the cooling measures in place, did we see higher demand then for overseas purchases? And you know, is that, and now with the travel restrictions in place, you know, are we then seeing a shift of that funds and a shift of that purchase interest coming back home as well?
Yes, definitely. In fact, we are seeing some of these overseas buyers coming, that means getting in tune with buying properties, you know, through virtual means. And we have seen, like, you know, more interest in the luxury home market as well. So, you know, usually in the luxury home market, demand is usually slower, especially during a crisis because of, you know, the price quantum. But instead, last year, we saw that many of the luxury properties were selling quite well. Yeah.
What do you think about, we've seen, for example, this large new project launch at Normanton Park, which has really made the headlines around town. Also, Park Central Residence out on the east side in Tampines, the Reef at King's Dock down by Harbourfront. Some of these are very much going to be landmark projects, are they not?
Yes. In fact, I think the sales momentum is actually quite strong and it's actually quite comparable to what we have seen in the pre-pandemic days. Well, I think moving forward, there will also be some new trends that can look forward to. And of course, you know, the increased demand. For instance, you know, just now you mentioned, are these going to be some blockbuster launches? And this year, we will also see strong buying interest in upcoming integrated developments because, you know, integrated developments are actually quite rare and they are usually very popular among buyers because of the convenience of amenities, transport and shopping malls. So there'll be two major ones coming up, one luxury project at Midtown Modern and a mass market project at Pasir Ris. Then of course there are some notable luxury projects to look out for as well, like Cairnhill 16, Atelier, former Liang Court, Cairnhill Mansions and so on. These are among the last batch of luxury project launches from the previous collective sales cycle. So if buyers were to miss the opportunity, then they will likely wait for the next cycle. And of course, some EVs will also be coming up.
You mentioned virtual buying. Can you, you know, describe to us how that works? And are there, you know, a significant number of foreign buyers who are quite happy, I mean, you know, to buy a property virtually? Because you imagine property is something, you know, that is very see, touch, feel. You want to go there, look at the furnishings, look at the size, feel the space and sure. facilities and so on. But, you know, the fact that you have virtual buying happening and we used to have a lot of foreign buyers and people who want to make their homes in Singapore or a second home perhaps for a future investment, perhaps their children may be studying here in the future. Do you see that sort of demand still?
Yes. In fact, when we talk to our agents on the ground, what they notice is that, you know, many of these buyers, actually, they already have some interest in that particular project, you know, even before they go on to do the virtual viewings and so on. So they have done some homework. And right now, there's actually a lot of tools that is in the market right now that they can actually look at, you know, the three dimension or even, you know, go floor to floor for each of the new projects or even resale projects. So, and then, of course, you know, they can view all the e-brochures, there are videos and even live streaming of our agents going from show flat to show flat, you know, and going from unit to unit to show what are the features. So because of that, you can see that it really helps a lot for some of these buyers who are interested.
Yeah, I've seen some of these clips where I think property agents have now become live streamers as well. Yeah. They do the walkthrough and they'll take, you know.
Finally, right? We've had this technology for quite a while. It's about time to get this up and going.
It's good because we are seeing that, you know, because of this pandemic, it has actually accelerated the pace of, you know, usage of technology in terms of the property sector, which is actually very good because it helps the buyers to compare projects faster. And it's also easier, you know, for us to meet buyers in a safe way. In that sense.
Talking with Christine Sun, the Senior Vice President of Research and Analytics at Orange Tea and Thai. Christine, when we look at the, let's say, luxury and ultra luxury market, perhaps Sentosa or some of the other really high-end buildings around, what's going on there? I know it was about a year ago or so we saw the many of the properties in Sentosa were really taking a sharp dive in their values and valuations. What's for example, there, what's going on with the market on Sentosa?
Right now, I think in Sentosa, there seems to be slightly more buying interest. But of course, there's not been a new launch for quite a while. So people are looking at, you know, buying some of these resale properties in Sentosa. And as well as we see some interest in the landed properties there, because that is the only place that foreigners can buy landed properties. Then, of course, for the whole luxury market, we are seeing there are different trends that are happening in the luxury market. So, for instance, like, you know, the ultra-rich are really coming in to snap up the super penthouses, you know, the penthouses, the very big units, because this is really a buying opportunity. You don't get, you know, this collective sales cycle all the time. It comes maybe 7 to 10 years. So there are just so many of these super luxury penthouses or these very good, you know, big units that are available in the market. So immediately you will see that, you know, these are the ones that are being stepped up once they are launched. Then, of course, the other end of the segment, we also see that there are some young people, maybe young executive, businessmen. Some of these are young couples with families. They are coming into the luxury market and they are buying those luxury homes that are slightly smaller. So we are seeing that, you know, smaller, more affordable luxury apartments are also are currently in high demand as well.
Do you see a shift in spending? Like, you know, because of ABSD and all the cooling off measures previously, people were looking at overseas purchases and markets and properties in those markets. But then now, you know, that they can't travel, they are shifting their interest back to Singapore properties. Are you seeing that sort of trend?
Oh, yes, definitely. Because like last Friday, I was just looking at the data for, you know, home purchases in terms of nationality. Notice that, you know, the proportion of private homes, condominiums bought by Singaporeans is right now at, I think it's an all-time high at 81%.
Wow.
So this actually shows that a lot of Singaporeans are coming back to Singapore's market. And you know, Singaporeans are by and large very savvy in terms of property investment. So the fact that so many people are so confident in buying properties here, so it speaks a lot about, you know, how they view properties here to be much safer when compared to other countries.
How many percent then, was course, it pre-COVID? 2019, how many percent was that? By nationality?
I think it's a high 70-something percent.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, for the luxury segment, we are seeing a higher proportion of Singaporeans buying as well over the last year.
Yeah, Christine, Mike Ang, our Facebook Live listener, watcher, frequently with us. Any indication is the question from him. What proportion is speculation versus investment to buy and stay?
Okay, right now, because of the seller stamp duty, of course, the proportion of sub-sales, you know, that's what is an indication of speculative demand, is actually still very low right now. So most of these people who are buying, they are either buying for their own homestay or they are buying for long-term investment. Because, of course, you know, we always tell buyers that, you know, if you want to buy properties, always take a long-term view.
Right.
It's not about, you know, flipping short-term. So if you look at right now, it also depends on the market segment. So many of those people who are buying, like, in the suburban areas or city fringe, many of them are buying for their own homestay. Whereas, you know, for the luxury segment, there will be a higher proportion of investment interest. Then, of course, we are also seeing like more and more parents, they are actually buying properties for their children. So this is very interesting because in fact, some of these people, they are the ex-on-block owners. So they collected quite a bit of cash, you know, over the past 2 years. So they are buying like two or three properties right now.
Very interesting. That definitely is not me. So, unfortunately, but we can always hope and dream, can't we? Christine, we're going to have to leave it there. But thank you so much for your time today. Really fascinating topic. And, of course, everybody loves real estate in Singapore. So I'm sure we'll be having you on again in the future.
Thank you, Christine.
Sure, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.